Woo! For you. Very good. Sherry? Sherry Edwards? Stella? Complete? Very good. Ron Munden?
Come on.
Incomplete this week. Complete, okay. Sylvia Clayton? Peggy Clayton? Fran Merrill? Linda Varese?
I'm here, complete, plus two.
Good. And then Dave and Rhonda?
Here, incomplete.
Okay. Did you guys have a good week?
Yes. Awesome week.
Is that Jenny?
This is Linda. Sounds like Jenny.
Yeah. Well, since she was plus six, I thought she would say awesome, too.
We were both together, so that helped.
Oh, that does.
Okay. You doggone bunch of overachievers. Look, I'm off the phone call for just a second, and then you guys just start hormoning your way to the top.
Oh.
I love it.
No, was it Sherry that was plus six? That was Danny. Danny, okay. Okay, gosh, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay. Tell us how you did it.
We did a booth down at a horse show, and it also helped that I started out with a couple of appointments earlier in the week, and doing a lot of phone calls earlier in the week, and then wrapped it up on Saturday with a horse show, and we did rollouts. Also kind of scoped out people who requested new products. Also did, gave out a lot of information and talked to a lot of people.
Wow, very good. I know, those shows really work, don't they?
They do. There was not as much traffic as we wanted. So, you know, we had to make the most of it, but it was really good. It definitely was worth the time.
Did you use some of Jerry's first liners?
What would those be?
They dragged you in.
Whatever it was, it would be professional and it would be very dignified.
Of course it would.
Jeez.
We're going to have to set up some booths. I'm telling you.
Well, that's part of the game, you bet. We're going to be discussing all kinds of different ways to get prospects. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to open office documents, and I'm going to get myself in order here now that we've got things taken care of. Boom, got it. Welcome, and welcome for week number four. You know, for all of you who are in the listening gallery, we are on week number four of our newest West Coast call. The ones who, in fact, have stepped up to the plate and made the commitment to be the first haired over group in all of America. And that is to be highly esteemed for those of you who are hairless out there. You will have a special appreciation for this group. And so, did you go through a full-on roll call?
I did, but Sherry and Sylvia and Peggy and Fran didn't answer.
All right, Rich, what was yours?
Complete, plus one.
Awesome, dude. Let's do some discussing then. So we didn't have Peggy, and we didn't have Dave and Rhonda were here because we had a cool discussion this afternoon, and those guys are going to be throwing in on that a little bit, and we will be. And Peggy surprises me a little bit, and Marcia obviously is here because she capably took the reins, and that's what this game is all about.
Barry?
Yes?
This is Sylvia, and Peggy's on her way. She just had problems at work.
Well,
so
then let's...
She'll be here.
let's make sure when she pops in the door, just hold up 10 fingers. That signifies that she will be doing 10 push-ups before she comes on the call.
Okay.
No problemo. So what we do each week is we take a look for those people who are complete. They did the following. They actually had a wellness briefing. I like that, musical background. They either had a wellness preview or went to one. They got 5 ABCs or plus, as you heard some. And those are just putting products in people's hands, having the products be the A, or the business videos, or a presentation of some sort, or three-way. Something that gets a person the ability to hear 5 times throughout the course of the week. And so what we want to do now is we want to find out what's working. So we had, was that Janie that had the horse show?
Yeah, and Linda was there as well.
Janie and Linda. And this whole batch has been starting to pull people in by the wagon loads. What the heck has happened to you in the last 4 weeks that makes you all so effective all of a sudden?
Probably all 3 of us working together at the same time. Maybe it's that competitive sisterly thing. And a lot of it is consistency, you know? It's just making sure that we're doing something, you know, every day.
Now, we do have one person in the background who's got kind of an intermittent piece there. If you're on the listening gallery, can you push either *6 or mute your phones, and that may help us if you are one who is on the call. And you got some obvious background noise that's unavoidable. Why don't you punch the mute for a second, and then when we call you, we'll recognize you're not there, and we'll have to come back to you. So, Janie, what are some of the things that you looked for as you set up your, or Linda, you can throw in on this too, as you set up your booth down at the horse fair? What were you looking for? What were you trying to achieve?
Go ahead, Linda. Well, it was interesting. We noticed a horse in the show ring. There was a couple of people that noticed it was really sore in the back end. And so we thought, okay, great. It's that gal, you know, as soon as she heads over this way. You know, Danny can tell her experience with some of the horses and rolling them out, how it helps that soreness or, you know, lengthens out their stride. Recovery is really quick with the animal. And everybody that was riding horses needed a rollout. The gal that was head of the show, she came over and, gosh, she told Danny how the next day she's always done in. She's got some serious health problems, and she had a rollout, and I think Danny's going to meet up with her and get, I think, some things going to help her because she knows she needs it. There's people that specifically go and get a rollout because they, you know, they go for NECAM. They've heard of it before. There was a gal that, gosh, if there's a NECAM booth nearby of some kind, she goes for that rollout after riding the horses. She had a couple of thoroughbreds there. It's just, you know, some people didn't, you know, just kind of walk slowly around the booth. You know, you'll get some of those. But there was a lot of interested people that they wanted to feel better and they wanted to try it out. And it was a good day, even though, like Janie said, there wasn't a lot of traffic. But, gosh, we pulled in who we could, and it was fun and had a great time.
When you contact people there, what kind of information do you take from them so that you can contact them later?
First, just get to know their interests, you know. Gosh, that's what we've been learning so far about listening. That has helped so much. You just strike up a conversation. That's the easiest and best way to do it. You notice somebody that's got problems walking by. You ask, well, how you doing? You look like, you know, maybe you can use a lift today or, you know, or something like that. Just a little comment to see if you get a response. If you do, then you start asking questions and listening. But I don't know. We're just really learning a lot with having to do this. I think it's best to use your talent as much as you can in helping people. Like, you know, Janie's really good at, she's patient. She's a good listener. She really works really well around people, and she really knows horses. And so she has a knack for this.
And where would you like to, if you were to be in your kind of preferred environment instead of horses, what would you like to do a booth at?
Good question. Gosh, I do weddings, crafts, different things like that. And I love horses myself. We used to race horses, but I don't know, anywhere just around people is fun. We were at a baseball game today, and I think nothing happens by coincidence. I firmly believe that. Earlier in the week, my son was talking about his coach at school and how he's used the NECAN products, and I didn't know which coach, there's several wrestling coaches, and I didn't know which one it was, and he didn't mention a name at the time. And then tonight at a baseball game for one of my other sons, I was talking to a couple that he just was telling me all kinds of things about Iraq, and then he mentioned, I took my son to the neurologist today. He said he's grown 7 inches, and I said, oh, neurologist, tell me about that, you know, what's going on? And it turns out he has seizures. So guess what I told him, Jerry? Jerry had just mentioned to my midwife last week about how, and he had mentioned this in the wellness preview before, about how he was introduced to the business, this gentleman that had the grand mal seizures. And I didn't have my phone on me. I wasn't able to call Jerry, but I mentioned your experience with that and the magnets, and it sounded just a little bit strange with the magnets on the head of this gentleman that had the seizure. But this was the coach, my other son's coach. And he had used NECAN products, and he had to leave to go pick up his daughter, but his wife talked to me, and it was, I don't know, it just kind of falls into place sometimes. And I'm definitely going to follow up on that and get some more information to him. And he just buys the products, so maybe he's interested in getting into the business. We'll see.
Way cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with Rich. What kinds of things led to you getting Complete Plus 2 this week?
Well, most of what I do is pretty much one-on-one because I'm tied up about 12 hours with one-on-one clients, and I just kind of present. I've been leading with products, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, but you know, the products pretty much sell themselves. However, I have been, like I called you before, I've been using it as a form of like, you know, let them know if they sign up, that they do get a tax break. And I did like a wellness preview with a one-on-one as well with a new client. Show the opportunity from a business standpoint, and you know, that was pretty good. I think they'll probably sign up this week. I'll probably have like 2 or 3 sign up this week. I kind of have them lined up. I have another client that saw their wellness from one of his friends, and I kind of presented some information in regards to that as well. So it's I've been leading with the product for the most part. What Keanu and I planning on doing in the future is probably doing like a dinner party and introducing it in that way, which can draw a little bit more of a crowd for us.
Good. That's a great start. And trying to just get the consistency going where you've got some place to take people every week. Also,
right.
Rich, how often are you down near the headquarters?
I'm there like 4 times a week because I go up and pick up products. But I don't get it on Thursday night.
Are you ever available around 9 o'clock in the morning to be down there at that area, or is that a prime time for you to be training?
Well, it depends on the day. I am there sometimes at 9 in the morning.
Did you get contacted by one of my people to take one of their folks through tour of the company?
But nobody called me.
Okay. Somebody will be contacting you. Her name is Cindy Ertz. And she's got a guy that wants to buy AERTS or TZ. And she's got a guy that wants to buy a mattress, but he wants to lay on it. And they only will allow people who are distributors to bring guests through on the walkthroughs. They don't allow people who are non-distributors to just go through and walk through. So
okay.
If you're available, that would be terrific. And who else
definitely
had stuff that worked really well this week?
Jerry?
Yes?
Hi, it's Peggy. I'm actually here.
Hiya, Peggy. Complete or incomplete?
Huh?
Complete. All right. What a group. You're going to be haired over for sure.
All right.
So, And you, anything to relate, Peggy, or just tell us your...
Now, I have actually found that just being patient, like you're saying, just get to know people. And I told you, I'm in a tanning booth. My brother set it up where I am in a tanning booth, and the owner actually gave me... That's my granddaughter, just a sec. Can you be quiet, please, a minute? Lost my train, but we actually have a room of our own, and I've been doing rollouts there. The thing of it is this week he asked for, oh, can you give me your schedule for, you know, a few days ahead, because people want to sign up. And then the next day he says, well, can you bring a bunch of material in here so people can read about it? I was just like, you don't have to ask me twice. But I found that with the people that come in there is just getting to know them and being patient, you know, and they start conversation and you get to know them, and then, you know, it's a complete different relationship.
Very good. Very good. And are you having fun?
A blast. The guy, the owner, has a great sense of humor, and we have fun. I enjoy it a lot.
Geez, going to work and having fun, too? That's out. That's awesome. We'll take it. Okay, great. Now let's go ahead and jump into some of the review of the materials. And Ron, you got a chance to read the list. Ron just got his second book today. Did you get a chance to look through any of that?
Oh, yeah, I read the first three paragraphs, like you said, and I actually got the CD in, too, in the Auto University style. So I got half of it going to work, took a break, got part of it, and then the other half part of it on the way home. And for the first time in my life, I read 1.5 pages while I was driving.
Oh.
I had the long back roads, which helped, and I was amazed. I got 1.5 of the things, and the other, when I got home, I got the rest of it, up to the three paragraph things through it. So
three
it was
chapters?
Yeah, chapters rather. And
all right. So our book that we were reading for all of those in the gallery is How to Build Your Network Marketing Business One Story at a Time by Michael Spaus. And so would you give a couple words on what you thought about that, Ron?
On the book itself?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I actually liked the whole The Seven Truths myself, you know, and I think it explains itself. You know, you just got to attend all the events, and you've just got to set your heart and just plug in and plug in and plug in, and it's going to happen, you know. And I especially like the CD. I really did. I mean, it's just, I got to listen to this thing two or three more times. But, I just think it's true. You just got to constantly plug into this stuff, and the more you are plugged in, the more you're going to learn. It's just going to come out. You're just going to speak this, what's important, what you need to speak, you know, and then you're going to be amazed by it. So, and that's how I learn again, is through the CDs. I'm an audio.
Was there one particular highlight on the CD that you just, that really stuck with you?
On the CD?
Mm-hmm.
God, I love this gentleman. I mean, it was just so involved. But I would say what caught my eye was just never give up. I don't let, you know, when you sow the seed, you got to understand that some are going to blossom and some are going to wilt and dry, and some of the birds are going to take them away, and just don't waste your time chasing after the people that are got you irritated when you thought you had someone. Just keep plugging in. And then all it is a number game. It's going to happen. If you play the game, it's just going to happen. And depending on how much you put yourself into it. And I think the most thing I liked was you're going to get better and better and better at it. You might bring one person in after 15 to 20 people. And then after that, you might bring two or three. And the number of games just gets better and better. And you just because you've learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're allowed to teach that to the new people that come into the business, it makes it much easier for you, and you can explain to them what they're going to go through, and they, you know, they kind of accept that. If they got their heart into it and they see what they're going to accept it and know that, because it's common sense.
Very good.
So,
Okay, Linda, what did you think of the book or tape?
Loved them both. I read the whole book. I thought I needed to read the whole book. And so I'm not sure if I'm getting from the three or four chapters that we're supposed to read, but my favorite part in the book was, you know, focus only on your successes. Look for the positive parts in whatever work that you do. Don't look back about any failures or this didn't work, that didn't work. Just concentrate on the successes. And it reminded me of a gal that used to raise horses, and she had a stallion that everybody knew him as being undefeated. Well, what a lot of people didn't know was he was very limited showing, but what he did great, and so that's what she focused on, and so that's what he was remembered for. And I thought, okay, it kind of reminded me of the Mecan business in working just on the successes, and I think if you keep a positive attitude, then you're going to be great, you know, don't sit down.
Cool. Jenny, what'd you pick up?
Linda actually took mine, but, you know. just before that part of the book, though, the one part that I like was right before that where it said, you know, concentrate on what you do well, to concentrate on your talents and your, you know, positive skills. Because overall, the book and the CD, what I mainly got out of it is just, do the work, you know, the activity, and don't worry about, don't overthink it, don't worry about the people who are saying no, just the work.
And have you read the book before?
I haven't read that one. I've heard the CD before, but I haven't read the book before.
Ah. Okay, then let's throw this out here. Peggy, what's your perspective?
Well, I like the part where he said, because, I mean, you get discouraged, and it's nice to know that it's not you, is the part where he said that your seeds will, you'll start growing plants, and then they wither and die. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective, because it's, you know, find out that happens to everybody, and it's not just you.
That's important as you go through all of this stuff. And Sherry?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a perspective that I will often come back to as we work with our groups here.
Okay.
That is, you're taking this course, you're going through the Pathfinder system as a way of defining, if you will, what it takes. And you're actually setting a path for people to come. When you think about this book or tape, are they things that you can imagine your people listening to or participating in, and as a result, becoming stronger in the future?
Oh, absolutely. One of the parts that everything that everyone's mentioned so far, I totally identified with, but one of the parts that just struck me on the Jim Rohn CD was when he said, when he talked about the seasons, and he talked about that when a group of business people are asking him what the next 10 years is going to be like, and he said, I can tell you exactly what the next 10 years is going to be like, and they all kind of lean forward, and they're all listening, and he said, it's pretty much going to be like the last 10 years. And he talks about, you know, after expansion comes recession, and after recession comes expansion, and after winter comes spring, and how wonderful spring is. And the thing that I can relate that to the Nikan business is, you know what, whatever activity you've been doing and wherever it's gotten you, if it hasn't gotten you very far and you haven't done much activity, well, you know what, if you keep doing that you've already done in the past, it's pretty much going to look like how it has in the past. Your future is just going to be the same if you continue with that same activity. And with Nikan, if you keep improving your activity, even if it's just a little bit every day, and you're adding to it and you're adding to it, then you see your business increase. And if you continue along that path, then then your future with Niken is going to increase. Your check is going to increase. Your belief is going to increase. Everything will increase. And so I think if you're a new person and you're listening to this, you're going to see how you can create your own path. And I think it definitely will make somebody stronger by listening to that.
Awesome. And so that before very long, you've replaced yourself.
Very
critical in what we do here. Good. Dave and Rhonda, big day for you guys in a lot of different ways. But first, let me get a perspective on your reading from this book. What did you pick up from the book or from the CD?
From the book, I got something out of the seven truths. And basically, those truths are unchanging. There's some things outside of my control. And from the CD, I think the biggest thing is that I can make changes within myself to have some for myself.
And you, Rhonda?
From the book, probably the activity matters, that get going, be out there and connect with people. And I earn more, I have to learn more. And from the CDs, I like what he said, it's not what happens, it's becoming life history, that's what you do.
Yeah, I love that part myself. This afternoon I met with a prospect for Dave and Rhonda, and it was the first time that I've had a chance to actually go through an ABC situation with them. So I'd like to have both of you just kind of give a perspective on how you think it went and what you might do in the future for the next one. So let's start with Dave. How'd you think it went?
I'm not quite sure. I haven't talked to Greg after he has left. He was a little bit apprehensive, and maybe I did not give him enough information before the meeting. And I guess that's how I
did. Well, great. I think that's very insightful, and I wanted to see if that point would come up. What you're all going to find is that it's critically important how you ask somebody to hear about Niken. Yeah, that's one key component, is because how you ask them will dictate what you present. And in this case, if I'm coming in to do it, I was a little bit unclear on where we were starting. But now I think, Dave, after having done that, do you feel like you have a better perspective on understanding how to lay it out for them?
Yes.
If somebody else is going to come and be a part of the presentation, there's nothing like being there to know what's going to be presented or how it's going to be presented, right?
Right.
So, What we would do differently in the future is just to be pretty clear about what we're providing for them. He showed up because you asked him to. But he really didn't have any expectation. He didn't know what he was being talked to about. So where could we come at that different if we think about the first book that we read, Listening for Success?
I guess finding out where he is at, and understanding more of his situation.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect, because then we can really present, and always, if you've listened enough and you're presenting an option to someone, you can present the option very well if you know what they really want or need, and it's always a service, and it's always dignified, and it never feels forced or wrong. If you don't know what the lead is when you start up, Can you feel how you sometimes have to shotgun with just guesses? And when you look confused as the presenter, they don't have a chance. They're going to be confused. What am I here for? Sort of thing. Rhonda, what was your perspective?
I thought she did an excellent job, and I know that he needed to hear all that, and I thought he'd be interested in what you said.
And I think he did walk away with that. We gave him a way to get more information and a way to do the research on his own. So here's a question that I want to provide to all of you. What do you think is a good comeback when you've given somebody information and now you're getting back to them after they've had the opportunity to review the information? Throw this out to Peggy.
Sorry, Jerry, I had it muted. My granddaughter just said something to me. Can you repeat that?
When, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. What's a good question to ask somebody when you're getting back to them after they have reviewed and you're checking back with them after your agreed upon time they've reviewed your information?
What I'd ask them is, so what did you think about all of that? Or, you know, was it interesting to you? I think there's several questions you could ask.
What'd you like about it?
Ron, why do you say that?
Well, after listening to Danny's tape so many times, that's what you want them to say is, you don't want them to say a yes, give them a chance to say a yes or a no. So you always ask them, what did you like about that? And then they pretty much start talking himself into the business. It makes it easier for you. You don't have to ask too many questions because you're basically forming them.
That's a lot better than mine.
Does everybody catch the subtlety of that? And it's something that we've all just been listening for and learning recently, is that if you can ask a question that really, it really kind of can set them off. Can you all see how sometimes you'll have these people that they just love to try to, they try to dump mud in your Kool-Aid, and that's just sort of their whole life is about making your life miserable.
Yeah.
Some of them are just good at it. And they've been, boy, they're loading their cannon to really unload on you, and if you say, what did you think, well, you just might get somebody who, boy, I'll tell you what, they've been waiting for you to ask that question all month.
Yeah, there's another one, Jerry, that I like, too, that's similar. It's like when they ask you about how long have you been in the business, you know, when one prospect might say, oh, 6 months, a year, or whatever, and I like it when the consultant made the statement, like, and that's interesting you asked me that question. Why do you ask? You know, it gets their mind right off that.
It puts the ball back in their court, and they have to go to thinking. If they've been preparing to just be mean and nasty the whole time, and you say, what did you like about it? Oh, now they have to be nice. See, NECAN is a business about teaching people to be nice to everybody, and so you start even before you bring them in the business. Rich, what did you get from the books and the tape?
Well, somehow I appreciated both the book and the tape. I think Mr. Klaus makes a, you know, very good statements in all of his chapters with the activity matters most and, you know, the truth, the seven truths. And for me, what stood out most in the book was work on yourself, then work more on yourself rather than, you know, just your business. You know, and doing so is like, you know, as you better yourself and just, you know, you're making yourself as an example to the people around you. And with that, what I appreciated about the CD was, actually the whole CD was nice. I liked it a lot. And what stood out most there for me was, the wind blows on everyone the same, but it's how you set the sails. So that was just kind of like, that was just touching. And honestly, it helped out a lot of people in this week by just, you know, sending that quote out on an email, and everybody was just pretty ecstatic about that.
Cool. Now I want to come back to Dave and Rhonda because one of the things that Rich just said pertaining to our conversation that we had where we were showing a new side of Nican before we left there. Nican, when it's first perceived by most distributors, is perceived as the products. And they're just astounding, and you love to talk about them. You like to bring that up. But did you get a sense that made it a little easier to understand about working on yourself as more important than working on your business? That comment may have just sort of slipped out there. And yet, in light of what we were talking about there at the end, Rhonda, do you think it fits easier or makes more sense now working on yourself to build your business?
I'm not sure I understand fully what you said.
That's because I asked very confusing questions, and it's very good that you can respond at all. What I'm trying to imply is that we talked about some really fun stuff there at the end, and it didn't have anything to do with products. What did it have to do with?
How we can make a lot of money in this business. Setting goals, dreaming big.
Our lives.
And was that as interesting as the products?
Yeah,
and here's something that one of the greats in our business, of one of the Royal Diamonds, Jenny Rogers, who's essentially the sponsor of Rick Murphy, the founder of this program, he said, if you were to offer to people with sore feet a $50 set of Nican shoe inserts or a $50 bill, what percentage of them would take the shoe inserts?
Very small percentage.
You mean more people are interested in money than they are in Nican shoe inserts?
Yep.
Is that possible?
Even probable.
Yeah.
How true it is.
So, psychologically, as we go out into the marketplace and we begin to understand the motives of other people, can you see how we have a bigger pond to fish in if we're talking about investment strategies, and you can get good at talking about that, or in life, investing in quality of life, than we might if you were talking about selling products? Do you think the pool shrinks if you're selling products?
Yeah.
People already know what money's going to do for them. They're not sure what the impulse are going to do.
That's an interesting point.
Oh, good one.
And isn't it kind of make the job easier if we understand that people, they know and dig money already? Don't have to worry about that one. We know that they're going to dig it. We don't have to do so much shotgunning, right? So, Dave and Rhonda, I keep putting you guys on the spot, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to sort of let Marcia have a shot at it, because she's the only one that hasn't had her chance. When I was talking about that approach with the viewer, do you remember that, Dave? Using the MagnaView sensor to look at the inside of the magnets?
Hello?
You don't remember that?
I remember.
Oh, okay. If you were to paraphrase, what did you get from that? Did it sound like, at first, someone would be selling if they started with that approach?
No. Trying to spark an interest.
And an interest in what?
One was new technology, and the other one was to get in, an opportunity to get into that technology.
Now, I'm in a position right now where I'm really struggling to try to come up with reproducible methods within my Nican business. So that's why I keep putting you guys on the spot. Are you doing okay?
We're fine.
All right. And so if I was to ask you to paraphrase how that conversation, that lead-in worked. Could you do that?
I can't remember it that well.
Yeah, I figured, you know, it kind of went by a bit fast. But here's what I did. This was one that has actually been used by a couple of royal diamonds, or a diamond and a royal diamond, and really was the predominant way in which they built their business. What they would do is they would, and I hope all of you know what I'm speaking of when I talk about the MagnaView sensor. The MagnaView sensor is the one where you can lay it over the top of one of the Nikan triangle board back flexes or the shoe inserts or anything that has magnets in it, and it looks at the pattern of the magnetic field in it. You move it around, the pattern moves. Y'all kind of know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And what they did was to take a mini and put it in the MagnaView sensor, carry it around in their pocket. At some point in the conversation, they would whip that thing out and hold the mini upside down and move the MagnaView sensor over the top so you could see the energy waves inside of it. And what they would do is to say to the person they're talking to, have you seen this yet? And wait for their answer. If they don't say anything, put it away and don't talk to them anymore.
You just want the people with the curiosity just to get their attention. Is that what you're saying, Jerry?
Sure. If they're not going to pick up on that conversation, they're not into it, don't force it.
Because that's into like a selling if you have to force. In other words, you're saying you don't want to have to say anything. You want them to come after you.
Yes, in that case, true. You're testing. I've been kind of inquisitive, asking questions about this person. I've been doing my forming, my ABCs. I've been really finding out who they are, and at this point, I want to find out if they may have an interest in what I do. So you may whip this thing out, you start to move it around, and what they'll say is, if they go, no, what is that, or anything like it, then what these guys were saying was, you see, the Japanese have discovered that if you have an area of tension or difficulty, and you place this energy over the area, somehow it eliminates that tension. Isn't that amazing? And again, if they don't say anything, you're done. If they say, well, tell me more, or anything, if they even just kind of acknowledge it, then what these guys say is at that point, you could be perceived as selling something, and not very many people really want to be sold stuff. Nor do they want to jump in and be a part of selling. Would you all agree with that?
True. Mm-hmm.
So we have to do what's called the turn at this point. And turning it means to change the direction of their original thought to something that's more likely to be to their liking. So what both these guys did, I'm not sure whether one stole the idea from the other, but they both did it the same way. They would say, my wife and I thought that was fascinating as well. We looked into it and we bought international distribution rights for these technologies. And we're literally looking for people to partner up with us across North America so we can get them out to the population. At that point, they've made the turn, and if someone says, well, what do they do, or you can carry on the conversation, but you've made your point bigger than, I'm going to sell you this thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you look at it from a sales environment, and somebody says, nope, you know, I'm fully vested where I work, I love what I do, I'm not about to really think that I need to make a change in my life, but that's pretty fascinating stuff. I think maybe, could I get one from you? Now you can slide back in and say, well, you know, I represent the company. Sure, I can get you one. That's just as much sales as if you started out by saying, hey, this is really cool, you like this? It's just as much sales, but it feels very different, doesn't it?
Right. Percentage-wise, Jerry, how many people out there do you think going at that approach grab a hold of what's there? 20%? Or what's your guess?
Well, I think they at least have the perspective that a lot of that really, Ron, just depends on how well you've gotten to listen to them beforehand and what you know their desires or responses are going to be.
Yeah, the relationship you've kind of built, talking to them, the forming and the trust and all that.
Mm-hmm. And you'll know going in whether they're, but if you bring it up, and this is what these guys were doing, was basically saying, this is a person I've now prospected. They sound interesting, like they're good people. They sound like they have a desire or a need to move on, do something bigger, better with their life, something additional. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go fishing and see if I can switch from prospecting to recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for them to recruit. And they're recruiting toward a bigger picture. And this is something for all of us to really kind of keep in mind. In this bigger picture, Dave Johnson is an expert. Here's an example. If you were to describe certain words in your approach to people, you can get messed up really fast. How about if somebody calls you up, Marcia? Boy, I still have to ask Marcia's perspective on this. But if somebody called you up and said, oh, Marcia, I'm so excited. My wife and I just got involved with a brand new business opportunity, and we'd like to have you take a look at it. What would you think they're talking about?
Sales, network marketing.
Exactly. So that word kind of sets you off, doesn't it? It's an automatic. You're automatically creating in the mind of the person some... And do you think it's a positive?
Uh-oh.
So here's where we're going to have to be a little bit careful when we're talking to people. Instead of calling up and saying, I'm so excited, my wife and I have just gotten involved with a brand new business opportunity, would you like to see it? That's like saying, would you like a root canal with no Novocaine? What if you were to say, hey, I'm working on a project... I'm working on a business project, and I'd like to run it across your desk. Maybe you can lead me to who I need to talk to. Does that sound like you're doing the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
So if we change it to business idea or project, idea or project goes a whole lot better than opportunity. Key critical words when you're bringing up your presentation. Dave Johnson, what he does, I love. This is a discussion I've had on many of my calls previously. And let's play this game because I think it's important for a lot of you who are new to learn this fairly quickly. If you lead with products, what do people think you do for a living?
Sales. Sell products.
And how many people want to be sales?
Not many.
So we know that it's about 5% of the population can see themselves doing sales. What's so interesting is that as you bring people into the business that are going to be twos and threes, they're going to be somewhat interested, they're going to be enjoying themselves, they really want to do sales and walk away with $30 to $50 a week. They really want to. We don't want to discourage that, but they'll tell you that they don't want to do sales, absolutely. But that's really what they want to do. So they think you're doing sales. They don't want to join you in sales. That would be horrible. Now, what other people do is then they run to the other side of the ship and they say, okay, that's not working so good, so what I'm going to do is to bring up the business. Here's a revelation that may shock you. Ron, you've heard in another endeavor you were in where they talk about the business all the time, right?
Right.
I was at a meeting down in California. I had 25 people in San Diego who were sitting around a wellness preview, and I asked them if they would give me their perspective on, or a two-word descriptor of business. And I was amazed to find out that out of the 25 people there, 24 of them, the two-word descriptor was negative.
Oh, wow.
And they thought of things like Enron, they thought of things like government intervention, FICA taxes, they thought of employees that don't show up for work, lots of work, mean bosses. They thought of all kinds of different things, and they were all negative. So now, isn't it interesting, if we lead with products and people think we do sales, we get 95% of them are negative. If we lead with business, only 5% of the people really think they could do business and only have and have a positive view of business. So if we lead with business, we're in trouble there too. So we get these new people who run from one side to the other, from business to products, from products to business, from business to products, from products to business. So that kind of leaves you a little hopeless, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So some of the things that you listen to when you hear somebody who's good at bringing this stuff up, Dave Johnson, for example, says, I'm working on a career change. Did you know that most people think positively about a career change or career? Many more people think positively about a career than being the owner and manager of their own business.
I think that's very true, because everyone out there is in a rut, no matter if you're like me. I own my own business. The business does good, but I have to put my life into it. Those who work by the hour are working the same thing. They're 2 to 3 jobs, 60, 80 hours a week, so they're always looking for something new.
And so here's another little piece that Dave Johnson has taught us, and if we'll listen carefully. And that is, if we bring up the idea of career change, or career, I'm working on a new career, it seems like there's just this open horizon of possibilities. It seems like if you buy a business, you just bought yourself a more expensive job and you got a great chance of failing. And you're going to put twice as many hours. Did anybody pick up on that subtlety, that difference? So the key is that when they think of business, people will say, I already have a very clear idea of what that is. No, I don't want it. They think of sales. I have a clear idea of what that is. No, I don't want it. And they're going to say no before they ever open up their mind to hear any of your explanation. So what we found is that Dave Johnson, for example, will say, hey, you know what? It'd be a blast for you to come and work with us. Maybe you could work on a career in what we do. Here's what we do. I represent a megatrend shift. You see, people don't have a clear definition of megatrend, but it sounds like something fun. I work with a company that's got their own manufacturing research and development, and they're bringing hot, new, high-tech, wellness-oriented technologies into the North American market. Now, you see in that series of adjectives, it sounds like wide open. They're giving out free land in the West. So
it sounds like the beginning of Google or Microsoft or something.
It's an open frontier. It's not so clearly defined in their minds that says, I know about that, I can't do it. Or, you know what? That sounds fascinating. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can lead with those kinds of concepts and open the door with multi-billion-dollar, multinational Japanese corporation that does its own research and development, its own manufacturing, and they're moving into the American market with the express purpose of doing to health what Toyota did to cars. They're giving us a piece of it, and we're working to build a new career in it. It'd be fun to work with you.
The way I look at that, Jerry, is that you have a chance, an opportunity to jump on board something that all the other smart guys have put together, and you're just going to take a ride with it and make the good money that
you know, a lot of people might have that low self-esteem about their own business, but something like what you just said, gosh, I wouldn't mind being a part of that, you know, and everybody else has figured it out, basically. That's what I heard in what you said. So it makes it easy for me to want to be a part of it.
Now, I want all of you with that fresh in your mind to put that down as one of your homework assignments, is to write down a few of those adjectives that we can practice when somebody asks what we do, some ways in approaching them that would make them feel honored, excited, but not closed off, not to try to clearly imagine exactly what we do, because if they clearly imagine it, they won't look and learn about something they can't possibly fathom. But that it sounds like wide open territory, like it could be exciting and fun, but they can, and that they can have the ability to do it. And there are just a few key words that I threw out there. So I want you all to write that down and work on it. The next assignment in the book is the next three chapters. And here's the $64,000 question for all of you who listened to the Texas call. What's our CD for this next week?
It's ignition launch B and process.
All right, you get it. I'm going to put an extra cherry on your cake. That is awesome. So here's why we're looking at those two pieces. It's the ignition sequence launch and the process by Terry Latham. The first one's by Rick Murphy. These are the things that we will use to start somebody up new. And wouldn't it be great if you knew what your people were going to see when they get started? So all of us, whether we're on the call or whether we're in the listening gallery, I want you to review those and look at it as if you were a brand new person. Here's why. I want you all to start thinking about some of the things that Dave and Rhonda and I talked about this afternoon. The explosive growth of networking, where you're helping people to come on to understand clearly what we do and to very simply sign up other people. And in fact, if we sign them up and give them the opportunity and make the assumption that they could actually start themselves, give them the materials they need, these two DVDs plus the ignition sequence launch papers, if they could start themselves, then their people in Iowa could start themselves, and their people in Ireland could start themselves, and your business would grow without you. So you all got that clear now? The three pieces of homework. One is to read the next three chapters. Number two, the ignition sequence DVD and the process by, those are two separate ones. Those will be a few more hours than we normally do in our DVDs or CDs. You can do it either way. If you're an auditory listener, you can do it in auditory on the CD. And then finally to write out an invitation to someone like Dave Johnson might put. Remember, it goes something like this. Gee, should be a blast to work with you. Maybe you ought to come over and do what we do. We got spots in the company. It's a major Japanese corporation coming on board, multi-billion-dollar major Japanese corporation that does all of its own manufacturing, research and development, shipping, delivery. And we're looking for new people. We're always upsizing. Stuff like that. All right, you guys are an awesome group of people. Look forward to seeing you next week. Anybody have any last-minute questions? Thanks for your perspectives, and let's do lots more three-ways this week so we can get some more people on board. This group needs to grow. Oh, by the way, next week you will all be assigned to your groups of three. In the groups of three, you'll get together whenever you choose to get together, and you'll support one another to make sure that you're getting these volumes done and the people in your group. In the early days of the Pathfinder system, one thing that they did do, and I think might be something for us to pay attention to, they recommended that we do $6,500 in volume in your first month. Because if you did 4 months of that, you'd be a silver. So we're going to cross the month threshold this evening at midnight. After that, it's a very good thing for you to begin to evaluate what you need to do to get on board and get the volume so you can get paid, so you can learn how to get other people paid, and so you can get home. That's the point where you guys are going to, as groups of three, check it out, get serious about those volumes, and start working on what it takes to get there. Y'all good?
Awesome. Jerry, I have a question.
Yes,
if you're already silver, are we supposed to do silver over to graduate from this class?
That's correct. If you do it over again to graduate from this class, then you're haired over.
So if we don't do 20,000 in volume or 25,000 in volume and get the new seniors, then we don't graduate?
You don't graduate and you don't get paid enough to get home. That's the bigger issue. All right?
All right.
Let's get home. So you can teach other people how to get home. And then when we're going to have a haired over barbecue when you guys don't have to work anymore. All right. You're awesome, guys.
All right.
Okay. Bye.